Hey, Joe, how are you doing back there? Go ahead and go to the next slide. Thank you. I'm going to use the guy in the back for a moment. All right. Is it a blessing to be in the house of God today?
Yes. Yes.
I want to talk to you this morning about the boast of grace in Ephesians chapter 2. Go ahead and read it. Verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Again, God, we just come before you. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Speak to us. May it be you in us and in the Word, anointing this message, your message to us, to our hearts today. May we not be the same when we leave. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right. So we've been, surprise, surprise, working our way through Ephesians. This is like the go-to passage when you think about grace, right? This is where we go. Ephesians 2, verse 8. But he's already talked about grace. In fact, everything prior to this has been about grace. And so, in a way, Paul is addressing a question. Again, chapter 1, laying out all these blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Beginning of chapter 2, laying out what we were before Christ, why we needed Christ, and how impossible our situation was. So he's, I think, addressing this question that just is kind of there, maybe for some of us, maybe all of us, this question that when we think about what we were and what God has done, we can't help but think about what must we do? What must we do? There was a man that came to Jesus one time and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I believe that he represents that question within us when we hear about this amazing grace and we think about these rich and amazing blessings of God and how terrible our condition was. What must I do? How do I maybe earn God's favor? How do I keep God's favor? Maybe that's even the better question. Maybe it's not like earning, it's how do I keep it? Somehow, I've got to do something to somehow deserve. Right? Don't you? When somebody gives a gift to you or something, does something for you, what is it? Typically, isn't it the impulse within you is, what must I do? How can I top that? Right? How can I give more back? And there's this something in us that's too great of a gift. I've got to do something to earn it. I've got to do something. It must be something that I can do, something to contribute. It can't possibly be this free. It can't be this free. There's nothing in the world that's this free. There's got to be a catch. So I think that's one of the reasons why Paul is inspired to write these words. I think that it's an understandable question. Again, it's a question that I think maybe one time or another we've all had. But the question actually reveals something about us. And it, one, reveals that we don't truly comprehend the depth of our sin. And we don't fully grasp the meaning of grace. And so Paul, while already addressing the subject of grace and talked about the exceeding riches of his grace, here he comes again and can't stop talking about grace. But I think it's to address that very question. Remember that our situation was hopeless, our predicament impossible. Stained by sin inside and out, from beginning to end, from start to finish. We could never change the fact that we were in Adam. Remember we talked about that last week? We're in Adam. We can never take ourselves out of Adam. Something outside of ourselves has to be able to do that, because we could never change being in Adam. We could never be in Christ unless God does something completely without us. Paul declares in another place, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, what did he say? I am what I am. Say that. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You and I need to say that to ourselves in the mirror every day. Even before you comb your hair. Okay? Even before you splash water on your face. I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul never forgot that. That is the theme of every message that Paul ever preached. He couldn't stop talking about it. You know, out of 128 times in the New Testament that grace is mentioned. So grace is mentioned 128 times. 97 of those times are by Paul. 128 times in the New Testament. And Paul, 97 times, grace, 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 grace. Can't stop talking about it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I am not worthy. How can I be worthy? How can we? We can't. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved what? A wretch. That's right. Look in the mirror again. Only grace could save that in the mirror. You know, it's when we forget. Now, when I say unworthiness, it's like we always have to qualify this, because later on in Ephesians, we're called to walk worthy, or walk worthy of the calling. Obviously, there's nothing in you and I that got God's attention that said, oh, here's a special one. Here's one worthy. A worthy one, finally. Not like that. Not like that. Paul says, I'm just not worthy. Because Paul had when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he faced himself. He saw who he was. His eyes were opened. And he saw the true me. Have you ever seen the true you? You know, sometimes it's come out in those moments. When you look back and you say, oh, you're just disgusted with yourself. There's who I am, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Now, none of us is worthy, but we're called to live worthy. And yet, somehow, he loves us. Who can be worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ? But I think when we forget about the preciousness of the blood of Christ, we stop walking in a worthy manner of something that we're not worthy of. Amen? That's something that Paul always walked with, was reminded of, not to keep him down. Like, you know, because he talks a lot about, in his writings, a lot about what he had done. But it was never to keep him down. That's not what God's intention is. Oh, just run you into the ground. You were such a terrible person, or you were horrible, or whatever. That's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose for our review of the past. It's to point us to the wonder of grace. So Paul talked about his past. Talked about what he was, talked about what he did. but always to point out, look what God has done. Look what God can do with this. Amen? I was had a dream the other day, and my dad and Dave Hellyer were in it. And I remember it felt real and giving them both hugs and weeping in my dream. It was just crazy. But I remember Dave, my conversation with Dave, and it was funny because this is something that Dave always did. You know, like if we were going to do something, he'd always suggest getting pizza. He'd always suggest getting pizza all the time. And so there it is happening in my dream. Dave's saying, I think we should get pizza. And it had to do with, like, you know, there was going to be some folks and maybe some people that we're going to minister to or whatever. Let's get some pizza. Because Dave knew, you know, that's how you, that's a hook. Hook him in with the pizza and then you give him the word, right? Dave was a good example of this as far as not running himself down by his past life or what he had done. But he always, that was always a lens by that he looked through and saw grace. And so he always pointed to grace, but he never wanted to forget, so that he didn't forget about grace. You follow that tension? We don't want to forget, in the sense that, I mean, that's what Paul's doing here. Remember what you were, beginning of chapter 2. This is what you were. But we hold that tension. But look what grace has done. So we. As Paul did. The word grace. Let's see. Let's move the slide, Joseph. There we are. Let's read it together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, Paul is the apostle of grace because he understood that only grace could do the impossible. Only grace could free him. Only grace could take him out of Adam and put him into Christ. Only grace could deliver him. Only grace could forgive him. Only grace could satisfy the judgment that he deserved. Only grace could save him. That's what it says, for by grace you have been saved. The word grace in the Greek, it means goodwill, means love and kindness, means unmerited favor. It's a great word. It's a powerful word. And that's God's loving kindness and unmerited favor and goodwill toward us. That saves. So God, grace is not... Grace is not in response to anything in us. There's nothing in us that grace responds to, because what's in us, the scriptures are very clear. We're in Adam and we're in sin. That's what's in us. Grace is given in spite of what's in us. In spite of who we are, or what we've done. That's grace. And so grace is not conditional, it's given freely. But I want to say something else about grace, and I think that's one of the things that he's driving at, because we can treat grace fragile, like it's a fragile commodity. Grace is not fragile. The grace of God is robust. The grace of God is mighty. The grace of God is powerful. It is not weak. It is not easily offended. Otherwise, good luck with that kind of grace. This grace has to stand up to a lot, doesn't it? This grace has to deal with a lot. It can't be wimpy. It can't be easily pushed over. This grace has to be, again, mighty and powerful. It's not delicate. It's muscular grace. If it's the grace of God. Grace can stand in the face of great sin and not shirk from the most wicked sinner. You can't scare grace away by who you are or what you've done. You can't. Grace doesn't go like, there, you cannot shock grace. Because you cannot shock God. Because God knew exactly what he was getting when he got you. You think you pull a fast one on God? Somehow I got in and he didn't realize what I was. Kind of snuck in through the back door. I'm glad he didn't see that. That's not God, and that's not grace. God knows exactly what you are in Adam. He knows exactly what is required to take you from Adam and put you in Christ. And he knows that you can't do anything to change yourself. So it's all on him. Amen? It has to be. It has to be. And his grace, therefore, has to be muscular and mighty. Because we are terrible sinners. Because we turn our back, even after being a Christian. And this is, of course, we're more worthy of the calling, but you and I know. Sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Anybody do that this morning? I got one honest person in this room. And sometimes we don't say what we say, what we want to say in the nicest way possible. Did anybody say something that was quite mean to you? Or rather, did you say something mean to somebody else? I see Manju nodding. I'm not sure if she's mean. She said something mean to Mike, or Mike said something mean to her. None of that is a surprise to God. Again, none of it's a license to do anything. We know that. This isn't cheap grace. This is expensive grace. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And you and I are not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not worthy of the blood of the Son of God. Sinners, strangers, enemies. Not worthy of the blood of my sons. I wouldn't give them for that. Somehow in God's amazing, relentless love, he gave his son anyway. In spite of you. In spite of who you are and what you've done. That's mighty grace. Grace, this grace is not for righteous people. It's for sinners. Right? Righteous. If you're righteous, you don't need it, but Jesus said you have to have a righteousness far greater than the Pharisees to receive it. So we need to be honest with ourselves. I think that's sometimes our problem. It's our pride, and we just don't want to think we're as bad as the next guy. Right? We're just, we're just glad that there's some people worse than us. Right? I mean, anybody have people that you know that are worse than you in this room? I got a few honest people. Okay. I'm just so glad that so-and-so is in church today because they really need to hear this message. No, you, my friend, are a wretch in the sight of God. And only grace can take you as a wretch and turn you into a son or a daughter. Yes. Nothing else. Nothing else. What's the next verse, Josh? Oh, Josh, my brother's name. Anyway, we've been talking about grace. In Romans 5, it says, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are we in this sense? The ungodly. That's who we are. What is that? What does ungodly mean? It means to be without God, for one. And two, it means to do ungodly things and to be an ungodly person. Anybody like to have that label stuck on them? Well, the Bible stuck it on you. That's what we were. In due time, that just means that God's never late, never early. He's always right on time. At the right time. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still what?
Sinners.
Which part of the sentence are we?
Sinners.
While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we got our act together. Some, you know, we sometimes get this wrong, or sometimes people get this wrong. Like, I got to clean up my act before I go to church. Right? Now, just go ahead and come in your pajamas. That's okay. You're okay with that. We sometimes got to, if I could just line up and take care of this addiction and take care of that problem and take care of this. And then God did. No, it's grace, brothers, sisters. It's all grace. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God not only loved you before you loved him, he loved you when you despised him. But it says salvation is not of works, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Next verse, Joseph. Say, let's say it together.
Not of works.
Say it again like you mean it.
Not of works.
Thank you in the back. What does it say? In other words, we have, it's not just about what we do, and it has to do with what we do, but it has more to do. There's more than that. We have no claim on salvation. In other words, we have no right to appeal to the supreme judge whose righteous sentence stands against us. We have no right to negotiate with the judge of all the earth. We have to understand, we are entitled to nothing. Right? Entitled to nothing. We cannot earn mercy, nor do we deserve grace. It cannot be of good works or good behavior or personal righteousness. And that's a hard message in this culture of personal entitlement. When everybody thinks they deserve something, and it's everybody else's fault, and that's the culture we live in today. And the gospel flies in the face of that, and it is countercultural, because the gospel says you don't deserve anything. In fact, let me qualify, what you do deserve is the judgment of God. That's not a popular message today. Has it ever been? We have no right, no entitlement, no innate privilege for God to save us. God doesn't owe us anything. If our work contributes, even in the smallest message, measure toward our salvation, then salvation can't be of grace. Romans 11 says, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Follow that? Grace, work, grace, work, work, grace. It actually, according to Paul right here, salvation is the gift of God, right? Say gift.
Yes.
It is the gift of God. I got a little. It says Elijah's bank. That's great. It's got like, I don't know, we use like his teeth to open the cap or something. That's why he needs braces. Anyway, his bank includes, it's not very full, is it? But anyway, $9.62 in Elijah's bank. Several years ago, Elijah gave me his bank, wrapped it up as a Christmas present, and gave me and gave me his bank. No, this is what it was. That's what it was. A lot of quarters, man. Some pennies. I counted it out yesterday just to make sure it was all there still. Listen, this, again, precious gift. Obviously, I couldn't spend this $9.62 anywhere. Not that it would get me much anyway, but it's the thought that counts, and the thought is very special. And it's like, what can I give Dad to show him that I love him, or show him that so that he has a gift under the tree, or whatever, right? So he gives me everything. He gives me his bank of $9.62. And you know, this didn't. Dad has a little bit more than $9.62 already, so we're okay. This didn't need to help the family out. Although, it's great, right? And it's a precious thing. All we can do is give God our $9.62. He owns everything. He owns the house. He's taking care of us. He's got us. We're in his hands. He's got it all. We can give him his $9.60, but guess what? Guess where Elijah got this? $9.60 anyway. Probably put him under my couch. Over time. Okay? So guess whose money it is anyway? So Elijah just gave me my own. He gave me what was mine to begin with. Listen, you know that, right? That's all we got. Is all we can give God is what he gave us. Right? He gave you $9.62. Give it all. But it doesn't earn a thing. It's not helping God out. It's not saying, oh, I'm somehow paying you back, God. No, because it's all grace. Right? It's all grace. You and I ought to give him our bank. We ought to do that as a token of love. I just want you to know, Daddy, that I love you. Right? I know it's not much, but I'm going to give it all. Not to earn, just to say thank you. Right? Isn't that how we ought to live our lives?
Yes.
Can't earn grace, and you don't deserve it, and you're not entitled to it. And the fact that you've got $9.60 anyway is the grace of God. So you give him what you got. Salvation is a gift. And you can't dig in your pocket and say, oh, what can I give back to deserve that? Nothing except gratitude. Amen?
Amen.
You know the song Rock of Ages, there's a line in there that kind of touches on this. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Isn't that all of us? Got nothing. Naked here. Only you and your grace can clothe me and save me and wash me. Salvation is a work of grace. Next slide, please. Say that with me.
Through faith.
Through faith. Faith is simply receiving, believing, trusting in Christ for what he has done for you. That's what it is. It's amazing how simple it is. Again, we're going to get into work and the place for works. In fact, he gets into that in verse 10. We are his what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good. Say it like you mean it. Good works. Works, there's a part of it. Of course, a vital part of it. But we got to keep it in its right place. Otherwise, works kind of messes up grace. But faith is simply receiving, believing, and trusting who in Christ who alone saves. That's why it has to be through faith. In his works. Next verse. Next slide, please. Let's say it together. Lest anyone should boast. So I want to talk about boasting. Paul talks about it here. He says, if any salvation is by grace, not works, then there is no place for boasting. I think we have an innate bent to boast, to kind of take what I've done and actually puff it up a little bit more. Any fishermen out there? No honest man in the room. I'm not going there. Oh man, that fish is, it was this big. Or we get into our stories and we've got a better story than the other guy, and we've experienced a harder situation than the other guy. And, oh, let me show you my scar. Remember that movie Jaws? Remember that? I like the officer's name was Sheriff Brody. I forget the one guy, Richard Dreyfuss' character. And they start talking about their wounds. And Quint, how can you forget Quint, right? Quint talks about like his scar. He's got this this wound on his arm, and then the Richard Dreyfuss character, he throws his leg up. Oh, look at that one there. And they're just, look at my leg. It's got half a pant on. Anyway, they're comparing each other's scars. Oh, wait till you see this one. And Sheriff Brody, he's just got like this little scar, appendix scar. He's just not real boastful about that one. You know, that wasn't a real adventure. We just kind of inflate, maybe without even realizing it, we can tend to inflate ourselves. Paul says, there is no place for inflating yourself when it comes to grace. We are all on the bottom. And it is by the grace that we go anywhere. And you can't look at anybody in this room and say, you need more salvation than me. There's nobody below. There's nobody below you. We all are in the same desperate place, the same impossible situation. We all need an equal measure of grace, top to bottom. And God has enough and to spare. Amen? For every single person. Enough grace. You see, to boast is to take the credit. To boast is to say, look at me. To boast means to glory. It is to glorify oneself. It's to glorify in our accomplishments, to brag about our efforts, to show off our works. Again, look what I have done. Paul says, grace removes that kind of boast. None of us can say, oh, somehow I've done something. Somehow I'm worthy. Somehow I've earned something. Somehow, you know what, my life is a little more blessed than somebody else. That means God loves me a little bit more. They need a lot more grace because, you know what, I'm not as bad as that one. Now, you just don't know the mess that you are. And you know the problem, that Jesus had more problems with Pharisees than he had for prostitutes. You know that? Because at least the prostitute was honest, generally speaking. The Pharisee, he thought he was something, but he was nothing. You know, this whole thing about grace, well, if we ask God, help me to grasp this to a greater degree, it's going to change how we treat other people. It's going to change how we see other people. It's going to change our lives. Because grace in will be grace out. Problem is, there's a lot of other things coming in and a lot of other things coming out. And it's not grace. Paul wrote in Romans 4, he said, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, the moment righteousness or salvation is based on work, then grace is void, and in its place is an insurmountable debt that can never be paid. Do you follow?
Yes.
That's what he's saying here. If it becomes works, then you can be saved, but you have a big debt to pay. So it's either by grace or by debt that you're saved. Which will it be? If you're honest with yourself, you'll look at your ledger and you'll see that that's impossible. Since no man can pay the debt, salvation can only be by grace, which excludes all boasting. Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation or an atonement or a sacrifice by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, by the law of faith. You know, Paul said, "Hey, listen, if I boasted, let me tell you what I could boast about." From an earthly perspective, he wrote in Philippians 3, says this, "If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh or a reason to boast, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." In other words, he was saying, earthly speaking, you could get higher than men. I reached the pinnacle, the top. All others aspired to be like men, because you couldn't be a better Jew, you could be a better Hebrew than that. He checked off all the boxes in the eyes of his countrymen. He had reached the heights that you could reach on this earth. So he says, I could boast. And there was a time when all these things mattered to Paul. These privileges elevated him. They made him successful. They made him great in the eyes of men. He could say, look at me. Look at who I am. Look at what I have done. I could boast. But then he was knocked down on the ground by grace. And he goes on and he says, "But what things, these things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Amen. Do you know that salvation did not take boasting out of Paul? Paul continued to be a great boaster, but no longer was it going to be boasting about how great his accomplishments were. No longer was it going to be about how great of a Jew he was, how great of a Hebrew he was, how great of a man of God he claimed to be. No more his great zeal. No more would he boast about that, but he would boast. He would be the greatest boaster of all. Joseph, next scripture. He would boast. In fact, he would boast to his dying day, because he would not stop talking about 97 times in the New Testament. He would talk about grace over and over and over again, because he never forgot about what he was, because he wasn't supposed to, because that reminded him of the greatness of God's grace, so that even when he was struggling and he said, "God, would you take the thorn away?" Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And he said in that time, "Then I will boast in my weakness that the grace and strength of Christ will be manifested in my life." More grace, more grace, more grace. I will boast about the cross. I will boast about Christ. I will boast about grace. He's a great boaster. No longer is it, "Look at what I've done." Look what God in Christ Jesus has done. I brought one other, I think it was the same Christmas. I showed this to you guys before. This is a little banner You can't read it, but it's from Joseph. And you've got a little tape address up here from to Dad from Joseph. And it says, "This guy is awesome." Amazing and cool. Exclamation, 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 underline, underline, underline. That was another Christmas gift. This sits, by the way, I have a chair that I sit, it's like my reading lawn chair. Not lawn chair, it's not a lawn chair in the house, it's a lazy boy chair. Don't get too big on the lazy part of it. Anyway, so I sit there, that's my reading chair, and I got a little lamp, it's a tall lamp, and this sits right there. Right there in that spot, because I don't want to lose it. I'm not sure what it meant for me to do with this, though. I don't know if I was supposed to walk around the house with it. Kind of remind everybody in the household. You know. Just wanted to... I don't really have to say anything. I'm just kind of... In fact, it probably needs to come in more use, because I think people need to be reminded of the truth, the infallible truth that's on this piece of paper, and this banner is declaring this guy is amazing. The bad things sometimes people forget. Now, you know, you have a banner. You have a banner. Who's on it? Who's on your banner? Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's me. And sometimes it's look at me. You have a banner. You get to choose who you're going to boast about. Let it be Jesus. All the time, 24/7. Amen? Why? Because at what point in the day should you not praise him for his grace? Is there a certain time of the day? Do you know, I thought about this not too long ago. But you know, our bodies need like, you know, if we can sleep through it, you know, we need like 7-8 hours of sleep. We are worthless, useless, doing nothing except sleeping. You need a lot of grace because you can't do anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, don't think too hard because that may be scary to death. But you need rest, 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep every single day where you can do absolutely nothing. Aren't you thankful that you're in the hands of God? You just put up your banner then. Oh, God. Grace! Christ! The cross. Is that your banner? Now look at what I have done. Look at what he has done. When was the last time you really, really, really thanked him for that? Oh, I know. I'm speaking to myself. We can get interrupted. We get in our spiritual ruts. We're doing a Bible dot, our devotions, read our Bibles, go to church, whatever. When was the last time that you were amazed by grace? Are you going to be one of those that just leaves the church today? No, that's a good sermon. No, you should be looking for your banner. I want to make him known. Look what he has done. Look what he has done. He's great. He's awesome. He's amazing. God's cool! Right? Look at Paul's boast here. Let's read it together. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross. Because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let us join Paul. Let us be great boasters. Oh, great boasters. But in the one who alone is worthy of boasting about. Cannot stop. Or help boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your great grace. Your great grace that is bound over great sin. Thank you for these precious verses, this precious scripture that reminds us that salvation is a gift. You know, the Lord just told me I need to do that. I'm going to ask Angie and you can come up. We just need to give us some time. So Angie, could you come up? And anybody else, any of the worship team that wanted to, I don't know, just would you just play something, please? It's one thing to hear about this great grace. It's another thing to receive this great grace. And I don't know where everybody's at this morning. And so I want to give you an opportunity to receive this grace. You receive it by faith. You put your trust in what Christ has done. You receive it. You believe it. God's not waiting for you to get your act together. He's saying, about time you came. Let me help you get your act together. How about I give you my Holy Spirit? How about I give you strength to overcome? You come. And so I just want to give you an opportunity now. And maybe there are some others here this morning. And you just have forgotten how great His grace is. And today, at this moment, this time, is an opportunity to praise Him again for that. But we're going to open the altar. And if there's someone here today and you want to receive Christ, maybe you've never done it, you've heard about it, but you've never made an actual decision. You've never said, Lord, I trust you. I want to trust you with my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for your grace. I just want to encourage you to come forward as we are led in some worship. And you just come forward. And if there's someone here that you just need to come forward and just praise God for His grace. Amen. Stand out. Not to draw attention to yourself. Stand out to draw attention to grace. Say, thank you, O God. And so just respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's for salvation, whether it's to receive the free gift of salvation given by grace, don't hold back. Take it by faith today. God, would you lead us in this moment? Lead us in this time. If there's anybody that should come forward, would you just compel them? There's no trying to guilt trip anybody to do that, but just that they would respond to the compelling leading of your Spirit and their desire to know you and to praise you. And would you just minister to each and every heart as we just close in this time of prayer and praise. Thank you, Lord. Again, altar's open. If you need prayer, I'm up front. We've got some leaders that would love to pray with you. But let's worship the Lord as we close out today.
Thank you.
God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And all God's people said. And all God's people said. Stand together and praise Him for His grace.